Our Bible reading is from John chapter 20, and then we'll sing, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Thanks, Dawn.
John 20, we start at verse 1, the empty tomb. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They've taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw, but did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen cloths, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who'd reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture, which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb and saw two angels there dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They've taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who is it that you are looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. So she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him and I will go and get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni." This means teacher. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus told her, "because I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. May God help us to understand the message for us in these verses. Amen.
Amen. May the words of my mouth, meditation of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I know that my Redeemer lives. Well, a much shorter message this morning, and just as the cheers die down about that, it's for a number of reasons. One is that we sing the proclamation of Easter this morning, and we also share in it around the table. And so there's a number of ways that the Easter message comes to us this morning, and we're already doing that. And so just to reflect a little bit more briefly this morning. Things are not going so well, are they? Things are not going so well. I mean, on a global scale. You know, we have what's taking place in the Middle East is but one place where there is much turmoil. But certainly there are lots of implications from what's currently happening in Iran. And what was the message that Mr. Trump sent out this morning, 48 hours, his 10 days, where is his 48 hours left, his ultimatum to Iran to sort things out and get to the table. Otherwise, he'll, all hell will break loose or something. Glory be to God, he finishes off the little message with. Now, I very rarely make comment about political stuff, but there's lots of commentary around at the moment of the Trump administration's militarization of God in the midst of what's happening. There are many people concerned about that, let me put it that way. Things are not going so well, are they, around the place? I mean, on a national level, like Australia. One of the implications is fuel supplies, fuel prices, they're up and down. You know, again, driving here this morning, some are going up again. And the huge implications for that, for so many people. Cost of living, housing supply, rates going up. Things are not going so well, are they? Things are not going so well. I mean, on a local level, like for us, things are not going so well, are they? We just shared in some prayers for the Brangiapawns, for Margot. Terrible news of Sylvia. And I know there's other stuff going on for you that things are not going so well, are they? And yet, here we are on Easter morning. If Easter Day has nothing to say to us that gives us hope in the midst of all these things, it has nothing to say to us at any time. And I want to say to you that it indeed does have something to say to us. It does. For here is hope for every single day of the year and every single moment. Here is hope. Things are not going so well was easily on the lips of the followers of Jesus on Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and the dawn of Easter Sunday. They possibly looked around at each other and said, things are not going so well, are they? And yet whatever it was that took place at that open tomb on the Sunday morning, their whole world is changed. Their whole world is changed. They become a people of hope in the midst of utter despair. In the midst of great suffering, and that continues over and over and over again. Certainly as we get into the book of the Acts of the Apostles, again and again, here is this hope and resilience that comes through because of what takes place with Mary that day, that morning. And I want to focus on two things this morning particularly. Well, certainly that message of hope, but also that rises out of this sense of God's grace to us. Mary stands at the tomb. She's already seen that the stone has been rolled away. She races back, Peter and John, and hopefully if this or something happens next week, we'll have a couple of paintings up next Sunday when we look at the story of Thomas. And we'll talk a little bit more next week about proof, or those kind of things, next week with Thomas. There's a couple of, there's one painting in particular that is just this magnificent painting that we'll have next week. About that. But here Mary has gone back to tell Peter and the other disciples. Peter and John come, have a look, and then Mary is left there, still in deep despair. still crying and weeping for not knowing where her Lord has gone. And she hears a stranger's voice behind her. This person, who she's supposed to be the gardener, says to her, "Mary, Mary." And that's the moment that she recognizes that it's Jesus. It's Jesus alive at the sound of her name. Some time before, Jesus had been telling his disciples and followers and others that "my sheep listen to my voice. My sheep listen to my voice." And Mary hears his voice say her name. And here's a moment of grace for Mary. It's Jesus who finds her, who comes to her. She might be looking for him, but it's Jesus who comes to her and finds her. And as with so many other people, when we think back to Mary and her story, here she is being greeted, the first one to be greeted by the risen Christ. It's Mary. The grace of God, the grace of Christ comes to her. The other point where we see the grace and the mercy of God is in the message that Jesus gives Mary. Jesus says to her, "Go and tell my brothers." My brothers. As we reflected a little on Good Friday morning here, when we think about these followers of Jesus, what had transpired in the last 48 hours, but even their struggle to understand and to follow Jesus all those 3 years, to comprehend it and get the picture right. But certainly here, when we think about what's taken place in 48 hours, Jesus says to Mary, "Go and tell my brothers." What an extraordinary word of grace and mercy. And we'll see that in a couple of weeks again in the conversation that Jesus has with Peter one-on-one and the restoration that comes to Peter. Mary, my brothers. I've mentioned a few quotes from Kate Bowler over the last few weeks, and just another one to finish off as part of her Lenten reflections. As she talks about this paradox that happens between life and faith and God and Easter and all those sorts of things, she says this, "Then Easter arrives, and Easter should solve everything. An empty tomb, Christ has risen from the dead, death itself has been defeated. Except when you wake up Easter morning, the world is still the world. People will still receive diagnoses. Relationships still fall apart. Another war is going on halfway around the world. We want the already and would strongly prefer to skip the not yet," because she talks about the not yet thing. "But all of our lives take place squarely in that gap between the already and the not yet." And that's the life that we live. That Jesus is alive, is risen. And we live in this gap of that reality and still in a world that is a difficult world to live in. And this is where the hope of Easter speaks to us. That yes, it speaks to us about that life which is to come, but it also speaks to us about the here and now, because that's what happened for the life of Mary and Peter and John and all of them, that this changed their lives, it changed their world, that they were able to live now in this world with great hope and resilience because of the risen Christ. Jesus spoke Mary's name. This morning, we have the invitation to gather around the Lord's table for Holy Communion. As we do that this morning, I encourage you to listen for God's call to you. I encourage you to listen for God calling your name as you receive the bread and the juice. To listen for God calling your name. Amen.